Welcome everyone for coming. I'm trying to find some connection of the opening of packages on Shabbos to the 3 weeks. We're entering the 3 weeks now. The truth is there is a connection there. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Chav Yushalayim, Yamechil Shabbos. The Gemara there lists many, many different avers that caused the Chorban Habayis, and said because one of them was because of lack of Shemir Shabbos, because of Chil Shabbos. And the Marsha in that particular Gemara writes that the Gemara lists so many different things. There were issues in the time of the Korban. And Marsha says that in our times, right, it's in the 1600s, we have the same issues. You know, Shabbos is not kept properly and so on and so forth. So I guess there really is a strong connection between the learning Hilchos Shabbos and the Tikkun that she's open to the Beis Hamikdash and Hev Yamim. So tonight's discussion is opening up packages and things of that nature. And this really encompasses a lot of different malachas. Tofir, Korea, Bonim, Makapatish, Kosein, Mopek. Encompasses a lot of different malachas. So before we discuss some details, let's just first learn about some malachas of Tofir and Korea, and then we'll be able to understand about how that applies to opening up different types of packages. Malach of Tofir and Korea, they're like twin malachas. Tofir is bringing things together, Korea is taking things apart. One is not allowed to do any type of tefira, bringing things together on Shabbos. Now we always think tefira means that you take out your sewing machine or a needle and thread, but anything which is machaber, two items together, is considered Tofir. So for example, stapling two pieces of paper together is considered Tofir. Using pins, using glue, all these are types and applications of the malacha of Tofir and Shabbos. So whatever brings two things together, they're melted together, whatever it might be, that's considered a malacha of Tofir. And even if it's not long lasting, even made just for short lasting, is also an issue of Tofir. So if a person just to go and sew something, I'm just sewing it for an hour, and then after an hour I'm going to take the stitches out. You know, just temporary sewing, temporary gluing of things, whatever it might be, generally speaking, that's also, it might not be Nisra D'Raisa, but it's still be Nisra D'Rabbana to do even a Tfila Shein HaShekion, even a temporary type of sewing or bringing things to together. Whatever you're not allowed to put together, generally speaking, you cannot take apart. And that's why Tofir and Korea are twin malachas. And you cannot take out stitches, you cannot take out pins, you cannot remove or separate items that are attached by glue. Putting it together is Tofir, taking it apart, or the malacha of Korea. Now, even if it's a very subtle type of sewing, there's also usher. Sometimes you have a button that's loose, you just pull on a thread and that attaches the button better to the clothing. That's also considered a type of Tofir, that it's bringing it together to where it's when it attaches in a better fashion. It's just hanging there, dangling there, and you're pulling it. That's considered a type of Tofir also. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and that is something which is so clear-cut that it's a short-term type of sewing, a short-term type of Tofir, that's mutter. And that's where the whole discussion came about using safety pins on Shabbos. There was a whole discussion about safety pins. They were gedolim at the time, and they know how to use a safety pin. I mean, that's the type of sewing. But the minhag is to be mekel that since it's clear-cut that it's for short-term usage, then that type of short-term sewing, tefir shesh kayama, would be mutter. When you put it in a few stitches with intention to take it out, we don't know your intention. It's not clear-cut from what we see that it's temporary. But a safety pin, by definition, is temporary. If you want to hold up a hem or just pin something on temporarily with a safety pin is all right, just make sure that it should be temporary. Sometimes a person puts a safety pin in the hem and it looks so good, you end up keeping it there and never really getting around to taking it out and sewing it up, then that could be an issue. As long as it's clearly short-term, that's your intention, that's the way it seems, that it's short-term, then it's all right. That's why using on diapers, for example, the old-fashioned cloth diapers, using paper or using safety pins would be all right. Was all right, because it's clear cut that it's short term. We don't say, oh, you're sewing the pieces, the edges of the diaper together. It's clear cut, short term sewing, and if it'll be winter. For the same reason, Pampers on winter. And when a person places a Pamper, a throwaway diaper on a child, and you're taping it together, that's also like gluing parts of the diaper together. We would think that would be yasser. But it's so clear cut, from the way it's put on, the way it's used, that for sure it's going to be short term, and that's why it's all right. One has to be careful when you finish using a diaper. The tendency is, certainly during the week, is that you like roll it up and you kind of take the tab and kind of, you know, make it stuck within itself to keep it nice and compact. And it's cleaner, the odor doesn't come out so easily, and you could put more into the garbage, whatever it might be. That is long-term tofer, because until it's, whatever happens to the garbage, until it's going to be there for forever as far as we're concerned. You have no intention to take it out. To put the diaper on the baby, the Pamper is all right. To go and just take the diaper and the Pamper and like and glue it up within itself and tape it up within itself, that should not be done on Shabbos. Sometimes children, not just sometimes, all of them, children love playing with stickers, and but it's not really a Shabbos toy. Removing the stickers from the place or putting the stickers on should not be done on Shabbos. Usually stickers are placed there to be there for a long term, and even if it's not, that's usually the way it's done. It's not clear cut at short term, or that should not be done at Shabbos. Now we have these items that are that are designed to hold your place. Forgot what they're called again. That's it. Postner, thank you. So that is once it's been removed from the original package, that should be moved before Shabbos. Without a use, and because again, that also is not made for long term. It's made to hold your place. And sometimes you're not going to get back to that book for a while, but it's not designed to keep things together for long term purpose. You hold your place, you move it, so on and so forth. If you're using those type of items, even though it is a little bit of glue on there, that is mutter and shot. But these are exceptions to the rule, where topher that's so clear cut that it's designed for short term usage would be mutter. Another exception to the rule is a type of tofer that's designed to be put together and take apart, which I'm referring to like a zipper. A zipper is very tight metal stitches. And by definition, you would think that is the ultimate type of tofer. And it's some metal stitches that are so strong, and the part that everybody else would show this. But the answer to that is, look, it's designed to put up, take down, and therefore it's mutter to use that on Shabbos. The person could put the lining into their winter coat on Shabbos, take it out on Shabbos, no tofer kareya or something of that nature, assuming no tofer kareya by buttons. And Velcro also is the type of Velcro that's designed to put together and take apart, like certainly by shoes, Velcro and diapers, things of that nature. And it's used in that way that it's mutter. It's not considered tofer kareya on Shabbos. When one uses a band-aid on Shabbos, so attaching it to the body, gluing it to the body, that's not a problem. You don't say this it's clear cut that it's short term, and the fact that it's now stuck to a finger, whatever it might be, is not us on Shabbos. You do have to worry, there is a concern that, for example, around fingers, there's a tendency that the cut on the finger, whatever, you just put the band-aid around and it's glued basically to itself. You overlap the band-aid on itself, so it kind of gets stuck to itself. It's glued to itself. And it's usually, the hanhaga is that during the week, you usually don't unpull it out to unglue it. It kind of loosens up after a while from bending the finger, whatever it might be, from the usage. And it just kind of falls off, or you pull it off. And that'll be usher on Shabbos, not pulling it off, but it's usher to put it on Shabbos because it's basically glued there forever. So when you put a band-aid on a finger on Shabbos, whether it's on an adult finger or a child's finger, really should put it up more kind of like a snake that never really overlaps itself. But once you're overlapping itself, the derech is to keep it there forever, and that'll be osur and Shabbos. Here's an interesting shaila about topher by people, and that is when a person has a deep cut, the necessity to have stitches. Is a Jewish doctor supposed to be allowed to put the stitches in on Shabbos? If it involves bikuach nefesh, then I mean, it goes without saying. I'm referring to a cut which, you know, because of a chashash infection, it has to be taken care of. But the question is, should you find a Goyish doctor to do it, or can a Jewish doctor really go and do it? Or just for... so it shouldn't have a scar tissue on it, whatever the case may be, where it's not really so crucial at this point, is it mutter for a Jewish doctor to do it? And that's a discussion amongst the poskim. There are other issues that any time a doctor does stitching, he also has to tie a knot, whether it's tying of knots too. There are other malachas that are involved in putting in stitches. So whenever that happens, one should really just... definitely look after you to find a goy. If you can't find a goy, then try to find a rub. There's also gluing. They put this sanitary glue on cuts. And that might not be as serious by gluing of a person. But there are issues because the glue usually comes out of a sponge. There's a chashash, and you're basically squeezing the glue out of a sponge on Shabbos. There's a chashash of schita. So there are, like, sometimes if it's an issue, not a problem. There are some side issues about those stitches and gluing on Shabbos. So those are all shahs that one should ask. So that is just a basic background of malach of tofer, of putting things together. Then there's malach of korea, or the opposite of tofer. Whatever you can't put together, generally speaking, you can't take apart. So tearing any type of fabric into two pieces, or tearing a piece off, even a small piece, whatever it might be, is an issur of a korea. If it's for a positive purpose, you're tearing it off to use the pieces, whatever it might be, to make the pieces better, then that'd be an issur of deraisa. If it's just because you just tear up a thing for whatever reason, just makakal, just messing it up, that'd be an issur of korban. But either way, it will be usur on Shabbos. Aluminum foil, plastic, paper, even though these items are not woven, it's not like a regular fabric, a regular piece of material, those items also one is not allowed to tear on Shabbos. So to go and tear paper towels, aluminum foil, all those items one cannot tear on Shabbos, whether you tear it in a normal fashion with the knife that's attached to the box, or just with your hands. Either way, all that would be usher and Shabbos. Saran wrap, tearing saran wrap would be usher and Shabbos. Tear a piece of saran wrap to wrap down something. All that comes under the halacha of korea on Shabbos. Now, sometimes there are tissues that the way the tissue box is designed, the tissues are not exactly cut from each other. So this box they are, but sometimes just at the way end, they're still attached, not by any type of. They've never been cut 100%. So even though it's basically all cut, and you're just doing that final little push, that'll be usher and Shabbos. I know here in the shul, we order bulk tissues and everything, and sometimes a box comes and that certain run wasn't so good. You try to buy companies that are completely cut, and in a certain run, just that the machine wasn't cutting it good enough. Basically, got rid of them. There's a Mitchell here in the shul who used tissues, and it's only a daven and Shabbos, just kind of pretty clear cut when they're going to be used. So that's how you have to be careful in one's house. You know that those should not be used on Shabbos. I recommend they shouldn't be used at all because you tend to forget to put them away before Shabbos. If one is proper toilet paper wasn't prepared before Shabbos, or one is in some type of restroom where it wasn't prepared, then Mishum Kovod Abrius, one is allowed to go and tear toilet paper with a shinun. So you just do it with your elbow or something of that nature. It is an issue of Korea, but we're allowed to do it, Mishum Kovod Abrius, we're allowed to do that with a shinun. Freeze pops are a very popular nachal for Shabbos during the summer months. One's not allowed to separate each of the freeze pops from each other. Because they're still attached, and you're separating them, and it's like tearing two pieces of paper from each other, two pieces of plastic from each other. So you have to separate the individual freeze pots from each other before shot. As far as opening the freeze pot itself, we'll get into a little bit later. Sometimes, as I don't know about women's clothing, but in men's clothing, when there's pockets, the pockets are sewed together. They put some loose stitches in the pockets. And when one buys a suit, you're supposed to like tear apart those stitches. So even though the stitches are kind of short term, they're designed to open up. They're not long term stitches. One is not allowed to go and tear through those stitches on Shabbos. Sometimes you have it by certain types of shirts, whatever. They put just a stitch in just to hold it together, and not allowed to take out that stitch on Shabbos. One has a button that's kind of dangling and it's loose. We discussed before, you cannot pull it tight, you also cannot pull it off. That also be an issue of Korea on Shabbos. If one needs to use paper towels, whatever it might be, and they're not cut on Shabbos, you can use them without cutting them. Paper towels are not muksa. The tissue paper is not muksa. Even though that has not been severed from each other, But being that it is usable, even though it's together, you could use them, just be careful not to separate them on Shabbos. There is a ongoing discussion about the tabs that are on Band-Aids and diapers, things of that nature, that the way a diaper is produced is that they have these sticky tabs, and when you buy them and put them on the baby, you undo the tabs and put them back on the baby. So if you learn that, that's all right, that's temporary fear. But what about taking the tabs off, you know, removing them from where they've been glued already for months? They've been by the time it gets from the factory to the distributor, and you know, finally gets to the store where you buy it, you finally use it. Could be months, who knows, maybe you've used it in a year, and it's been glued together. Band-Aids could be sitting in one's medicine cabinet for years, and the tabs are glued on. And there's a little bit of glue there, and they put it there, and you're separating it in order to use the Band-Aid. And it seems to me like a positive type of Korea. You're separating in order to use the Band-Aid, and regard that should be Usser and Shabbos. And there are poskim that say that it is Usser. So others taina that, being that it's designed to be opened up, certainly those that produce the Band-Aids, that produce the Pampers, any of that nature, they want you to buy it to use it. It's just there to keep it either sanitary or keep it from losing its stickiness, whatever it is. You know, they're putting it there just in the meantime, but they want you to go and use it as soon as possible. And therefore, maybe it's considered like a type of fever that's clear-cut, that it's made to open up. It's clear-cut that it's short-term. And if you'd be allowed to go and open it on Shabbos, it won't be considered Korea. It'll be maybe it's similar to a safety pin, perhaps. So there's again ongoing discussion, and Apiyikar didn't we hold that it's mutter. One could open up these tabs on Band-Aids or on Pampers and Shabbos. It is a chum. It's a nice thing if one's able to be machmir to if you know you're going to need 10, 15 Pampers and Shabbos, just to go and open them up and close them, just so they'll be able to, and then it's definitely a short-term type of sticking. It's only for a few hours, it's a three-day yontif, it's for a few days, whatever it is. It's only short-term, and it's clearly short-term, and then it's all right. So mikudin, it's mutter, it's a nice thing, just open and close them right before Shabbos. Usually Band-Aid, you can't plan it ahead of time. But the Pampers, it's a nice thing, if possible, to open before Shabbos. If it's Velcro, one doesn't have to be so machmir to do that, to open and close it like before Shabbos. But if it's the regular ones, just a little sticky glue on it, then it's a nice thing to try to be machmir to do that. Sometimes you buy a you have a new book, a safe or whatever it might be, and the page has not been completely cut, and the machine just didn't cut through all the pages. And again, it's just a small amount at the end. One is not allowed to go and cut that on Shabbos, even that a little umph just to get it out, to separate it is usher. But sometimes there's glue. There's glue there, and the binding is glue in the air, or just a little sliver of glue that's connecting the page together. It's not put there on purpose. It kind of accidentally got there, and then it's not a problem going and separating it. Sometimes by a bencher, there's some glue called solvent or whatever it might be that they glue the edges of the bencher together. If it's weird, there's writing, and by separating it, it'll erase the words, and you'd be careful about that. But where it's like at the edge of the bencher, and you're just like separating it, it wasn't put there on purpose, wasn't glued there on purpose, and then it's mutter. Also by the edges of diapers, when you have these Pampers, so the edges, the thin edge around it, sometimes looks like it's connected. And there's a knife that cuts them all down, and the knife, after cutting millions of diapers, kind of gets hot for the friction, and it is a little sliver of like plastic there, and it tends to melt. And itaki is like kind of melted together. Or if it's a paper type material, it's like pushed together very tight. But it's really, so even if it's melted and it's connected, or just pressed together, either way it's mutter to separate. It was not done on purpose. They don't want to keep it together. It just, you know, if the machine cut it and kind of pressed it or melted it together, it wasn't done on purpose, even for it's mutter to separate it. So now let's start to veer into opening up packages and shams. We have a good background of some applications of Tofer, but especially Korea, which is again opening up packages and shams. So far, it sounds like one cannot open up packages and shams. You know, it's Korea. I mean, you're tearing through something, you're opening something up, it should be Korea, Shabbos. So there's a Tosefta, there's a Chazal that says that Korea or Malki Klavos. So imagine you have a barrel, and on top of the barrel you put a thin piece of leather there, and this leather is connected tight like a drum onto it. And it said that you're allowed to go and tear through that, tear it off, to get to the contents on Shabbos. But there is referring to barrel of wine, whatever it is, you're allowed to go and tear it off. But why are you allowed to do that? The poskim are bothered that what's they have to do? It's Korea. You're tearing it. You know, a good example of this is I take a yogurt or like coffee. When you open up the coffee on top of the piece of paper on top, it's an oral pichavitz. I got my container and I got a nice paper thing there, plastic, whatever it might be, aluminum. And Chazal told me to be allowed to go and remove it, tear through it. It's fine. So, but the basic idea, to make a long story short, is that if you have no intention to use the paper at all, I mean, I just want to get to the food. All the examples we discussed until now, for example, by paper towels, aluminum foil, I mean, you're tearing a piece off to use it. But if that's not my intention. I just want to open up the coffee, open up the yogurt, open up the container, and just get to the food that's there, get to the contents that's there, and then that's completely mutter. That type of korea that I'm not munyan, I'm not interested at all with the contents, then that'll be completely mutter on Shabbos. For example, you have a shrink wrap around salami, or any other type of food of that nature. When you tear it, I could care less about it. I just want to get to the contents, to the food inside, and that'll be 100% mutter. Same by the yogurt, to either tear through it or peel it off. Either one of the maisa will be butcher on Shabbos. Now let's get to like a potato chip bag or a pretzel type bag, which it's glued, it's like melted. The plastic is melted both in the top and bottom. And the top is made to open up. It's kind of in a way designed to open up. But so therefore you can say it's like short term. You know, it's made, they want you to buy it and open up as soon as possible. Even besides that, I could care less about the bag at the time being. You know, it's not like I'm trying to make a bag or do something special with the plastic. I just want to get to the potato chips, get to the pretzels. Therefore, the halacha is that you would be allowed to just open it up. It's recommended to open it not exactly to the top part where it was like melted or glued together, to try to tear it a little beneath that, right beneath that. We're just cutting to plain plastic. There's an advantage of doing that to reasons beyond the scope of the share. So in that type of case, where my whole intention is just to get to the contents, it's mutter. Even though we know you're not going to eat all the potato chips now and all the pretzels and the popcorn now, but the idea is that right now, opening it to get to the contents, it's fine. You do not have to go and tear up the whole bag into pieces. As long as this, your intention right now is just to open it, to get to the contents, it will be all right. As I said, it's recommended to open it a little bit below the part that was glued together, just cut through the plastic itself on the top or on the side, wherever it might be. You have these little sugar bags, or saccharin, type of things, little bags. Those you'll have to go also tear open on Shabbos for the same exact reason. It's always recommended to open up packages before Shabbos, just to veer around the whole issue, but we all know it's easier said than done. Some things, it's not practical, some things, they'll lose their freshness. So, if you're able to open it, it's no big deal, it's a nice thing to do. But it's important to know what is the halacha on Shabbos. You're allowed to open up these packages on Shabbos, because your intention is just to get to the contents of it. Now, it doesn't even have to be a food item, whether it's socks, tights, forks, game pieces. You just want to introduce a new game on Shabbos, and you open up the box, and the checkers are all inside bags, or the dice or the pieces are all inside bags. It's the same thing. As long as it's for uses on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and just tear to the plastic, and get to the pieces, and it's 100% mutter on Shabbos. Same thing with diaper bags. Tear that open. Freeze pops to cut off the top to get to the freeze pop. All that reminds me of during Shabbos. Sometimes also you have a juice box, has a little piece of plastic, aluminum, whatever it might be, and you just want to cut through it to put the straw there. All that is mutter. I just want to get right through it, get the contents out. I'm not planning to design, because I'll tell us that when you tear that leather piece on top of the barrel, you can't cut it in a special way that'll look nice and pour nicely. You just gotta get through it, so I'll be able to get to the contents. That's usually what we do when we open up packages. Just open it up, and that's fine. Now, medicine is also, you have to tear through something to get to medicine. That's type medicine is mutter to use in Shabbos. It is mutter. A lot of times, by types of medicines, for an example here, you have a medicine that you have to break through the back of it to get the medicine out. As far as Korea, it will not be a problem, but there is a problem with Mochet. Anytime we tear through any type of packages, so even though there won't be any Korea issue, you're not allowed to tear through any words. And if you have to try to make sure you even use a knife to just make that tear, that sliver, around words where you aren't going to be cutting through any types of words. So here, especially by a lot of medicines, it's filled with words in the back. So by right, you should really just plug these out, push them out before Shabbos. You know you're going to need to get boilies or whatever on Shabbos, just press them all out before Shabbos enough that you're able to get it out without having to tear it more and tear through the words. If one has a medicine they need to take on Shabbos, and there are words in the back, so try to press it out with the shinoi, or take your knuckle or something and press it out. Try to just get it out with the shinoi, if possible, to break through the lettering. So that's always an issue. Even though we might vary around the Korea aspect of it, we have to be careful about the mohig, not to erase any of the words on Shabbos. If one got a cake in a cake box from a bakery, so a lot of times they put string around it, whether it's your shmura matzah or it's your cake. So you got to go and cut that string, just take a knife, whatever it is, and cut that string on Shabbos. Again, you're just cutting it just to go and open it to get into the cake. Sometimes there's tape that's there. It's a nice idea to cut that tape before Shabbos. just don't tape it. The tape it closed on one or three sides. If you forgot, you know, then just take a knife and cut through that tape. Again, your intention is just, I just want to get to the cake already. Just, you know, open up the box and get to the cake. For that lamaisa would be mutter. The milk bottles that we have today, the ones that have a plastic top, and there's like a plastic like tongue thing that you take off, that really is an issue opening up on Shabbos. The reason is because although that when I open it, my intention is, let's just get to the milk already, and as far as that's concerned, it won't be a problem, but it is producing a nice cap. You're taking that little strip of plastic off the cap, you're tearing that off. So what you're tearing off, you could care less about, but that is making a nice cap, a reusable cap that's going to go off and on. So that type of kareya has a positive use. It's not just tearing to get to the contents. That type of tearing is producing the cap on top. So although there might, you know, wonders make that there is perhaps something to be somachan, but I really recommend being machmir and opening those up before Shabbos. If I forgot to do it, then I would recommend just taking a knife and cutting to the top or something to get to the milk out of it. But you see already the difference where this idea of cutting through something to get to the contents, that's the only time we allow kareya. But when you're just tearing to produce, that's going to produce, have a positive tzar, an outcome, that already is a type of kareya that's generally speaking usher on Shabbos. So let's come to bottle caps, opening up bottle caps on Shabbos. Now bottle caps, the type that we have, is not really a kareya issue. Kareya is by something which is soft, paper, aluminum foil, a fabric, a soft plastic. But bottle caps made out of metal, aluminum, or hard plastic, hard aluminum, that's not kareya anymore. That already comes into issues that we call soser, bonin of soser, makir v'patish. And so now we're leaving the kareya sugya, so to say. Now we're entering other types of malavas. The old-fashioned bottle cap, the ones that you just go and bend and they come off, and so that is certainly mutter. You're not doing anything. You're not producing a bottle. The bottle is already a bottle. The cap is already a cap. You're just bending it to go and make it that it stretches so it'll come off the bottle. And that was not a malach at all. And that's 100% fine. So then they started producing, and I still remember when this happened, started producing the screw caps. And the screw caps originally were the aluminum ones, the ones you find on, say, the Ketem sparkling grape juice bottles. It's aluminum ones. And when you turned it, either the ring broke off, like on the Ketem sparkling grape juice bottles, or just sometimes some of them, like on the Coke and Pepsi, I remember at the time, they just spread out a little bit. They just stretched and just cracked a little bit enough that you're able to get it off the bottle and reuse it. So what is the issue by that? So many persons say that's usher and that's the maisa we should be knowing as far as the aluminum ones. The reason being is that the way those are produced, if they take a piece of aluminum, basically a flat piece of aluminum, and they kind of form it around the bottle. And so now it's completely formed and they press it so it makes screw marks in it so it'll screw off. It was never a cap before it was put on the bottle. It basically became a cap around the bottle. So now the issue is that imagine I would be able to take that cap off without unscrewing it, without removing the ring from it, without stretching it out. I would take a hammer and just bang, imagine those glass bottles or whatever, I just bang the plastic out. So therefore I have this cap. This cap is not usable. It will not screw on anything. It's too small. You have to like stretch it out, take off that bottom ring. You got to do something to make it a usable cap. And that's makir v'patish. And when you're opening up the bottle, you don't realize what you're doing is you're producing a usable cap. It was never capped beforehand. It wasn't a cap before it was on the bottle. It didn't become a cap, but it was already squeeze on the bottle really never had a usage yet. And therefore, many gedolim held that that was usur. So when you're unscrewing it, it's makir patur. So on the sparkling keren grape juice, those should be open for shabbos. Just open it up, you know, to make sure it cracks. It gets that, you know, it gets that ring off. And now it's already is an established usable cap. And now you could use it on shabbos. Then later on, it came up this new thing of the plastic cap, the ones that we find on soda and soap bottles today. And that, the person will more makele about, that is what they use in Shabbos, even though the ring does come off, because that already is a cap before it's put on the bottle. It's a piece of plastic with the ring on it, and they just push it down hard on the bottle. But it already was produced, it already was an existing cap, even before it was on the bottle. So you're not really doing anything already. You know, it's not like making it into the cap for the first time. It was a cap already before it got put on the bottle. And if the aluminum one should not be open on Shabbos, the fastened one is allowed to open on Shabbos. And they have this new thing now that they stamp the date of production, something like that. That stamp of the date of production is exactly where the ring breaks off and from the cap. And by opening it, you'll be separating those letters, breaking those numbers and letters there. So if that is the case, once you're not opening on Shabbos, you don't have to go and check all the bottles to see if that's the case, but sometimes you start to notice that is there, you happen to see it there, and if that's the case, then once you're not opening on Shabbos, because you're breaking those letters on Shabbos. So let's go to the next step as far as cans and Shabbos. Now, cans are also not a Korea issue. They're hard. It's a bona visoser makra patish type issue. That we have this can that's been soldered together. And now when I open up the can, the can opener, or I put my finger in and just lift off the can cover, whatever it might be, the issue is that I'm making this can. I'm opening it up. I'm like producing a can. When it was soldered closed, it really wasn't usable. You know, it didn't have a screw cap on it, and I could open and close it. It wasn't really usable. Now I'm making it to a usable can. There's a lot written on this issue about cans, and there are those that say you can't do it at all, those that say it's because you mutter. A lot of back and forth about it. But again, to make a long story short, alechatfila, cans should really be open for Shabbos. You know that you're going to need a can of whatever, corn or green beans, or whatever it might be. You know, all these should be open up before Shabbos. If one forgot to open up a can for Shabbos, and something which you may think you need or enhance the suda, whatever the case might be, then one is allowed to open it in a normal fashion with a can opener with one condition. That is, as soon as you open it, one should empty out the contents and throw the can into the garbage. In order that it's like showing that I'm not really interested in producing and making a nice can, I just want to open it, get the food out, and that's it. That is an issue by formula cans, Materna, that you open it and, you know, you have even comes a plastic cover to put back on it, and you reuse it. I mean, it's used. It's used all the time that your formula is there. So you will not be allowed to open that on Shabbos and reuse that container. If you forgot, then you just open it and empty it out and throw it out. But to keep the container, one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now that's as far as a type of can, which is not producing, not formulating a nice opening. They're just getting the whole top off. Now by a Coke can, you have a can of Coke, so where you press it, you open it, makes a nice little pear-shaped type thing, which lets you sip out some of the soda without dripping on your nose, and it's making a nice opening to it. That already one should not open. One should open a soda can on Shabbos. Even if you're going to empty out the contents and throw it out, but it's producing a nice opening. That should not be done on Shabbos. It's the same thing with these orange juice containers that come in like in a carton. Then you unscrew the cap And you have this ring in there that you put your finger and take it out, and that makes a nice little opening for the orange juice to come out of. So that also could be considered like a nice opening. But it's not opening up the whole carton up. You're just making a nice little area where the orange juice will pour out of. That also one should refrain from opening that on Shabbos. That should be open. All those type of orange juice things should be open before Shabbos. Now let's discuss twist ties on Shabbos. This is really more of a kosher issue. That to go and make a rope on Shabbos is usher. To go and take like learning when you're, I don't know if you guess what for Boy Scouts, but Boy Scouts learn how to make rope on rope, and make twine, and that's a malacha of kosher, making a type of rope on Shabbos. So the issue is that when you go and take a twist tie, by the way, you cannot separate the twist ties and Shabbos, that'll be Korea. You're separating this pieces of plastic from each other that have the metal in them. That's like separating the freeze pots from each other. But say you have a twist tie that's already separated, you're not allowed to go and, I mean, the issue is, are you allowed to go and twist it on Shabbos? When you twist it, you're making a type of rope, so to say, with it on Shabbos. So the halacha is that as long as it's short term, it's mutter. So whether you're tying it or untying it, you bought a challah from the bakery, it might be Thursday's challah, and it's already been there for a couple of days, but that's considered short term as far as this is concerned, and you'll have to go and undo that twist tie. You want to put the twist tie back on Shabbos night on the challah bag, so you'll have the challah for tomorrow. That's fine. To twist tie a garbage that, as far as we know, is not going to be open in the near future, that should not be done. But to untie or twist tie things that are just put there short term, that'll be all right. You want to twist tie something to put in your freezer that you're not going to use in a few months, that should not be done. But to twist tie something that you use next Shabbos, whatever the case might be, that's short term type kosher, and in this type of kosher, that'll be mutter. There are certain types of knots that even more than 24 hours is usher, but this type of knot is a little different. As long as it's not long term, then it's mutter. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. If it was put there to be there long term, then you shouldn't undo it. If it just, you put there, you never know, you might use it real soon, you might not use it. It's happened to be you didn't use it, but it wasn't purposely put there long term, then it'll be all right. But something that you know that you only use every, you have certain guests or certain people come over, you like it, you're not planning, you only use it once in a while, and it's done for many weeks, so to say, and that should not be open on Shabbos. Right. And you know like which challahs are not going to be used, or any challah might be used any time. Yeah. Okay, that much you don't have to be so mocked about. That'll be all right. Now in case it does have a twist tie that cannot be opened, then simply tear it to the bag. That karea to get to the contents, as we mentioned before, the mice is mutter. Now let's discuss boxes or cartons. A cereal box or a matzah box. The cereal boxes or a matzah type box, they are closed in some different ways. Some of them are glued together on top because there's two flaps and they kind of glue them together, some glue. And that glue, we could discuss that long term, short term, how long it's been, is it supposed to be there? So that's an issue, that it's, is that Korea opening up on top when it's been glued? By a lot of these matzah things, they've been done in a way that when you have to mamash tear the tab away, which produces two nice, easy flaps, and that's a real problem with Korea. If your mom is tearing through something which was never torn before, even though it's perforating is still not torn. And therefore you're tearing it, and it's positive type tearing. You're producing two nice flaps that fit into each other. It definitely cannot be opened in that type of fashion. So any of these containers, whether it's a cereal box or a matzah box, in order to open it on Shabbos, the best way really is just to, like, to take a knife and just cut through the side of the box. It's kind of like, it'll mess up your box, but if you'd be able just to like tear through the box, you're just tearing through it to get to the contents of it, and that type of, that'll be mutter. Then once we get to the container inside where the matzahs are, where the cereal's kept, that's like your regular potato chip bag, your regular popcorn or pretzel bag, that just you can just tear it to get to the contents. It's recommended to tear it below the part that was glued or melted together. So that is a basic rundown on opening containers in Shabbos. And I think we covered, everything okay, so they get enough ideas to be able to know how to work in our kitchens on Shabbos, and enough ideas to know when to ask for silence. Okay, thanks for coming.